there's a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pits of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination in an area which we call Elder Dragon Journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're live back at the Little Dragon Turtle podcast. This is your host, Igor, and as always with me is my co-host, Niksha. Say hi, Niksha.
Oh, yeah, it's me.
It is you. What up, Niksha? You doing good?
Yeah. I'm starting with the acceptance phase of the London Mulligan, so I'm cool.
Womp womp. But we were walking down the street today and we picked up a bum, just, you know, to be nice to the bum. Say hi, bum.
Hi.
Who are you, bum?
People of this podcast may recognize me as a person that cries and whines about being stacked all the time.
So yeah, this is Mate, the person who hates all the orbs I like to play.
Exactly.
I mean, still, it has always been your fault that you decide to play combo decks.
I mean, I hate it, but I'm not, like, doing anything about it. I'm just still playing the decks that hate to be aside of them. And I'll still play Storm, even if there is a sphere effect out there. And
plus
I'm just going to keep doing it, you know, on purpose. I don't know, because I just can't play anything else.
You're playing the frog. That's a different thing.
That's actually a different thing.
That's not a Storm deck.
That's actually the bluest deck of non-blue decks.
Something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
But, boys, how have your weeks been? Nick, do you have a Commander of the Week? I hear your Commander of the Week is quite special.
Yep, it's nothing.
Elaborate, please.
Well, I don't know. When I heard the news about the London Mulligan, and with Commander Horizons also coming out, I was just like, what do I even do now? Everything I knew is, like, changing. What am I supposed to do? But mostly I was like, okay, I need to get a lot of stuff from Modern Horizons, so... And then I'll be in that period where I'm like, okay, which card to ditch? Which card to add? So I just disassembled all of my Commander decks and I'm going to be making them again.
Like a reasonable person, you know.
Yeah, that's what reasonable people do, right? I mean, they don't know which card to cut, so they just disassemble everything, not just the deck they're considering changing, right?
One deck you should obviously be playing in that setting, ninjas, because you're getting so much ninja support.
Yeah, and I was thinking about separating Sig Rogues and... Sig Rogues.
and
Yuriko Ninjas. But I'm having second thoughts about that, because then I'd have to be collecting rogues, you know.
Oh, and we all know how expensive rogues are.
It's just that they're hard to find.
Just order them online.
I don't feel like ordering online, because if I go order online, I'll get like 60 cards, and then the shipment will be like half of the cost.
Buy it from one spot, I guess?
That's the thing. It still costs half the total is the shipping part.
Maybe don't buy shit cards and, you know, buy
something extra. What are you talking about? You can't. How am I supposed to make a rogue deck then?
On the other hand, you will pay all the 50 rogues like $3. I think paying $3 in shipping is fine.
Did you know that foil Japanese Narset is €200?
Yes.
Random fact of the day.
Do you have a full Japanese Narset?
But what I wanted to comment is I actually attempted to make a commander deck, but not for myself. And it was quite funny. So Mate here, he said that he gave me his album and said, okay, Niksha, you can make any deck you want from this. And I'll be playing it. I won't modify it, I'll be playing it. And I was like, Oh oh boy, you don't have no idea what you just did. You have no idea. And turns out he actually did.
He had the best idea.
Well, first I wanted to make like a Varina reanimator. Like he has all the nice pieces for reanimation, for cycling, for this and that.
Does he have reanimation targets?
But he doesn't have any reanimation targets.
He's a storm player, of course he doesn't have creatures.
So I ditched that idea. And then I was searching for other decks, and was searching, and I just quit, because his album is like the most anti-Nick Chateau you can imagine.
That's like, actually true.
Every card in that album can be categorized in one of three things. A mana producer, B, a tutor, or C, a combo piece or enabler. And that's it. There's nothing else. I just can't. I just don't want to.
That's basically Mati's playstyle.
Yeah. I mean, when he said he's going to make Varina, like, he's going to make a reanimator, and use Mnemonic Betrayal as a card, as a Vincana sword. I was thinking, all right, cool, I have so much removal in my binders. I may use that removal to remove other pieces, then cast Mnemonic Betrayal and reanimate all of your creatures, not mine, because I obviously don't have any reanimation targets. So you guys probably have.
That was supposed to be creatureless reanimator deck?
Sort of, I guess. Maybe make some zombies, I think, with Varina.
I kind of want to puke.
That's actually how I build her, maybe, in a meme way. But, yeah. Nisha had fun.
And people wonder why I specifically stacks you. You deserve to be stacked.
Come on, I've just admitted that 50% of your stacks in me is on purpose. Just because I'm there.
Honestly, you make the funniest reactions to being stacked.
I just gave up. I mean, I see a Trini Sphere like two turns after I play my Gitax Emperor, but like, did you pay three besides those two life for Gitax Emperor? Just, I'll pay it later. You know, I can't even make the pace of you guys playing the staff taxing effects. Like, I just can't deal with that.
There's just two of us playing taxing effects.
Oh no, you just think that there's two of you. Trust me, there's one.
Who else plays?
Like, there's a Nixia playing CC. Not anymore, obviously.
Obviously, not anymore.
There is Marco playing his Grand Arbiter.
Oh yeah, I forgot that he's this.
Yeah, there is Robert playing his Blood Pod. You playing your Alesha.
And Ruriktar and other things.
And Ruriktar and Sirku. And should I go on or stop here?
That's basically what I have from deck, so...
Oh, I didn't mention that you used to have a Derevis decks. I mean, any commander name right now, besides Desprosh, is basically a tax deck.
Well, and yeah, I mostly build tax decks because they're fun. For me.
I mean...
Plus, yeah. In our meta, it's necessary to actually have a healthy taxing deck.
I mean... It is. I'll say it is, but... The way I see it now, it started to be much slower. Like, we used to have a very fast games, like, literally turn 3 wins. I mean, those occur from time to time and now, but now the games tend to be much longer because of the stacks
and effects. Everybody said they wanted to play long games of Commander. There you go.
That's a way. I agree.
What am I going to bring a Battlecruiser deck and play against you guys? That's not going to happen.
Or Helion too, that.
I mean, the closest comes to that is Tess playing Dinosaurs. And that mostly goes, you know, three people are trying to stop other people from winning, and then she just smashes people with Dinosaurs.
Yeah, that's something like that.
Because nobody's going to counter her general because everybody else is trying to storm off or something like that.
Yeah, we were just worrying about each other. That may be a problem when you're playing when someone with casual decks want to jump in a competitive pod. If we are a pod of three, it's okay. Oh, you guys need a fourth. We're like, yeah, but we're a bit competitive. It's okay. Oh, I don't mind. I'm just playing casual. That's okay. Then the three of us there'll be a bloodbath between the three of us, and that like casual. I don't know.
But see,
Reva deck, I don't know, will come in and smash all of us.
But when it comes to Tessa's casual deck, which sort of, she casts her general turn 3 or 4.
Yeah.
She just doesn't win instantly, she's just gonna smash people. And that's basically it. But anywho, that was Nyxia's commander of the week, I guess.
Yeah.
Mate, what was yours?
I would say Frog. I've been playing it for quite now. And I made two games at Wednesday at our LGS, and actually I won both of them.
Ooh!
It was hard, but surprising wins, because I was playing against that Philip Statiova, and I wasn't expecting to win. But turns out deck runs smooth, even though I'm a bad player at it.
Especially when there's no extra texting pieces stopping you.
Yeah, that's the most important.
Or random ninjas killing your frog.
Oh, yeah.
And Nyxia, want to tell us that story?
Nah. I mean, I just killed his frog. That's
again?
All I did. I just
and
killed
again?
His frog twice, and he didn't like that. He remembered that.
Yeah, I do. Trust me, I do.
Ah, that must have been a fun game.
Yeah, it was a really fun game.
Anything else for your commander of the week?
Actually, that would be it. What is your commander of the week?
I've been mostly cubing this last 2 weeks. Tess managed to do a turn 3 Prosh kill. Actually, not Prosh kill. Prosh wasn't involved, funny enough.
Oh.
She just gained infinite mana, drew all the cards in her deck, and then cast the Purphoros, and then again, infinite mana does. I was gonna cast Rule of Law next turn, by the way, but I never got a chance to.
It sounds pretty nice.
It was fun for her. That's basically it. I had zero fun when that happened. Actually, I was super impressed and proud of her, she was super happy. But I died, so didn't like that part.
I believe you.
Dying is part of the fun.
Yeah, and in a cube I managed to open another piece of power. It was nice having a Time Walk as a back one, pick one. So I played blue-red control, I won two, lost two games. And I lived a dream and actually managed to copy my Time Walk, and that was super fun. There is a Time Walk as a fun spell. Of course, it would be better if it was an instant, so I could put it under Isochron Scepter, but you know.
Yeah, you wish.
That would be perfectly balancing.
Perfect.
As all things should be.
As all things should be. But yeah, that was basically my commander of the week. We move on to the actual subjects.
Let us move.
What do you guys want to start with?
Well, let's start with something more lighthearted. So, we got the news, well, almost out of nowhere. So, the directors of Avengers Endgame are adapting Magic the Gathering for Netflix. So, the Russo brothers are, you know, going after Magic on Netflix. And
It's not that much out of order, because a couple, a year ago maybe, the Magic TM got copyrighted.
Yeah, but I also remember a couple of years back when they announced movies or something, on a scale like Lord of the Rings, and then nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
But this is going to be an animated movie, an animated show.
Animated show on Netflix, right?
On Netflix.
A couple of things we know: it's not gonna actually be touching current storyline. It's not going to be touching as well previous storylines, so no Urza Saga set phase. People who made who animated Rick and Morty and the Dragon Prince are going to be doing the animations.
Bardell Entertainment.
Those guys, yeah? And I'm actually think this might be a good thing. They might actually do a good job.
Well, the problem is that, okay, the directors are really good, and there's a lot of talented people on this project, mm-hmm. but I'm a bit skeptical because of the animation. Because I saw the Dragon Prince, and mm-hmm. not all of it. I've been watching it here and there. I like the show, but I can't stand the animation.
Why?
Because it looks like... So it's 3D, and it looks like it was made in like 30 to 60 FPS, but they slowed it down to 24 and below. And the animations look so choppy and so so unnaturally choppy, and for no reason at all. It doesn't have any. They probably wanted to give like an anime-like feel for the show, but there are anime-like 3D animations that look gorgeous in 60 FPS. I mean, just look at almost any Fire Emblem cinematic. I mean, those look gorgeous, and they're at 60 FPS, or 30, whatever. They look gorgeous, and they are not at 12 FPS like the Dragon Prince.
So you know what they need to emulate? Just emulate Avatar.
Yeah.
Master Band. Just that.
But, and also, I mean, let's be real, Rick and Morty doesn't really have it, isn't really the hallmark of animation.
So yeah, animation-wise, I'm not sure what to expect.
Well...
I'm glad that it's not gonna be, you know, them playing the card game. That's good.
Oh yeah, that kind of show would be horrible.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it would be just like 10 episodes of them being screwed.
They should just take our games of Commander and put them on the screen.
They're being taxed.
Instant one season.
Yes.
And I'm also glad that they're not touching the main storyline, because it'll give them more freedom. But they're touching on existing characters, so their promo poster has Chandra in it. And, you know, Chandra being one of the worst characters they have, for me at least, they have an opportunity to make a really compelling red planeswalker.
Also an actual character? They can make her into an actual character?
Yeah, they can make an actual character out of her.
You know what I'm sad they didn't go with? They could have made this a Garruk show.
Oh no, Garruk did that one bad thing at that one point, and they don't talk about Garruk anymore.
He did nothing wrong.
The artist did something wrong, apparently.
But you have a companion piece to the art.
Yeah, but the people just don't care about that. Now,
people are stupid.
So, an animated show is in the works, and, well, I don't know when we can expect it.
More Jace. I think it's just more Jace. The Chandra banner is just a cover-up for more Jace.
That's an illusion, Chandra. It's actually Jace.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. It's actually Lazav.
It was actually Nicol Bolas all along.
Oh, that would be so good if it was Lazav.
Last episode, last minute, Chandra just strips her face. It's Nicol Bolas.
It's actually Gideon. He's live.
Oh snap!
maybe it will be like Scooby-Doo, but in magic.
I actually want to see that show now. But it needs to be Jace, and Ajahn is obviously going to be Scooby-Doo. Yeah. Who's going to be the hippie friend, aka Shaggy?
Nyssa.
Oh god. And they, him and Johnny, her and Johnny just get stoned all the time.
Yes.
Actually, Johnny snacks. They get the Johnny snacks. Also known as edibles.
Can Karn be Shaggy because he's like already stoned or something?
But he can't actually be high. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Or maybe a show like, remember the spin-off show during Dexter's Laboratory, the Justice Friends?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of show, where they're like in a small apartment, together with like Chandra and Jace, together with like Deseret and I don't know another like Obnixilus. They have to be roommates.
Wing Commander.
Turns out we will all be wrong. It's actually gonna be a bloody show like Attack on Titan.
Or maybe Rurouni Kenshin.
Just imagine if they did that. Just super bloody show. Maybe like, okay. I didn't expect this.
Oh, okay. Oh, they did say, I did read somewhere that there's going to be a drama, horror, and thriller.
Huh.
Well, it's going to be like Jersey Shore or something. I don't get it.
On Ravnica Shore.
Ravnica Shore.
But, yeah, so we're getting an animated show, finally.
Yep. Good it's not a live action. That would suck so much.
Probably.
Oh, it would look stupid.
I mean, well, depends. I mean, there's the Pokemon live action movie that has CGI the characters, and that turned out completely fine.
I mean, there is also, you know, Full Metal Alchemist live action movie.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
There is a Death Note collection movie.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mate.
For Netflix.
Thank you, Mate, for reminding people.
Wait. What man gotta do, gotta do?
Look, we all as a society have to remember that tragedies do happen and work as hard as we can to stop them next time.
Just keep in mind that it's a Netflix show. And this is a Netflix show as well.
Yeah, but you know, the Russo brothers. Come on. Oh yeah, I forgot you don't like... Oh, Mate.
What?
Nothing. We won't talk about your questionable... interest in movies, so...
Yeah. Let's better keep it quiet.
Okay, so on to a more controversial topic.
You mean more controversial than Mate's questionable taste in movies?
Yeah.
Oh, gasp.
So, the London Mulligan. It's happening.
I remember when I said it's most likely going to happen and you were like, no, they won't actually go through it. They were being silent for this long time.
Yeah.
Guess what? My skepticism turned out to be correct.
And so, starting from M20, the London Mulligan will be applied to every competitive format of Magic.
And Commander.
And Commander, yeah. Confirmed by the Commander Society or what. Whatever they're called.
We call them Illuminati, but right?
the high table.
The high table.
But yeah, what does this mean for the format itself?
Well, for Commander, I don't see a lot of things actually changing. Maybe people will play like one or two lands less.
But... I've already seen lists with like 22 to 3 lands.
I mean, I think that's just insane. I mean, there's no way that works because I play 40 lands in my KNT deck and I got, you know, mana screwed, like, every third game.
Well, you see, these people just, you know, play combo decks and that kind of works out.
Mm. Yeah, I think that it won't change, like, majorly in those mana bases, but the consistency of getting a better hand and faster win of some decks, notably Flesh Hulk, will just rise. the actual bin rate itself in percentages might rise because of that Mulligan rule. Because it really needs a manual two cards to win. Flush and a Protein Hulk. But basically, I'm just taking that deck for example, but there are many more decks that could play more consistently with that Mulligan.
Like Grenzo, Dungeon Warden.
Exactly.
Because you actually know what's on the bottom of your library.
Exactly.
What I was gonna say, I'm the only one who actually played with this rule, right?
Yep.
You guys haven't tested it.
I didn't.
For a stack deck, honestly, kinda actually helped me out, because I can more pinpoint my opening hands to stacks people more efficiently.
You mean you can more aggressively mulligan?
Mm-hmm. I usually aggressively mulligan, you guys know that. And this is just rewarding me for having the habit.
Yeah, exactly what I said. Just makes your deck more consistent, and your game plan just goes somewhere else. I didn't play with the actual London Mulligan, but I goldfished it with my frog because I just put the deck together like a month ago. I didn't play it well, so I just goldfished a few games, and from 6 games, I won 3 games on goldfish on itself. Like from 6 games. 4 games were a turn 3 win, because I can cast Frog turn 2 every time and have a land tutor and discard out and everything that I need. That's just pretty busted.
Of course, that needs to be tested, you know,
yeah,
in real games.
Of course, but theoretically speaking, and practically without any other circumstances, it's like 4 out of 6 games that I played are turn 3 wins.
I mean, we did kind of as a group test out the London Mulligan. We just all had good opening hands. The first
one. Good testing.
That's what I commented. I was like, oh, good. Good. So we got 0 results that way, but playing it a bit more, everything becomes more consistent. Problem is, some decks that are already super consistent are becoming even more consistent.
Well,
I mean, yeah, go on.
I really can't comment anything for Commander, because I'm not... I mean, even though I had a competitive deck, I still might have it again, but I just didn't go that deep into competitive waters.
I mean, if you want to mulligan, a hand... That's your first 7. I mean, we're gonna keep that free mulligan in Commander, so it doesn't make much difference. You usually open your 7 and you're like, I can go from here or I can't. If you mulligan for free, you'll get another 7. And like, if you have to mulligan the third time, you're most probably going to do it because you must to get your plans out other way. Because most of the time you get your second 7 good, like on average. Or even playable, I'd say.
Are there any decks that actually get hurt by this rule?
Well, decks that aren't combo.
And that aren't apparently stacks?
Yes.
So, Nixxia decks get hurt a lot.
Yep. I mean, it's not that they get hurt, it's just that other decks get better. And that's one of the things I wanted to mention, is that from Commander I can't really comment it, but from Modern, I think this is the format that's actually going to see the most impact from London Mulligan. Because right now, I just can't see any advantage of playing Mono Blue Tron over Mono Green Tron. Like, I just don't see anything. Because Mono Blue Tron doesn't control that efficiently early game. It's just like a mid-range deck that has a, let's say, combo finish with having a lot of mana. But Blue Tron just automatically loses to Green Tron. And Blue Tron actually has a hard time against combo decks, which Tron has in general problems with. So, I just don't like the fact, also I don't like the fact that ley lines will become mandatory because, you know,
all the graveyard decks?
All the graveyard decks, and all the consistency of those graveyard decks, you need to have those silver bullets. And they have to be reprinted in copious amounts to be accessible to, like, literally everyone.
I mean, there have been even more graveyard decks popping out in Modern. I think I saw... What's the name of that guy from Modern Horizons that can't be cast normally?
Holgok Bridgevine.
Yes. Holy crap. That guy that we said was gonna do nothing in Commander, we were most likely right, does things in Modern, apparently.
Well, you know, turn 2 or turn 3, 8-8 Trampler, that can't be pushed or, you know, bolted, it's pretty good.
Of course, we come to a problem that, you know, like you said, everybody's gonna be running ley lines and things.
Yeah, the deck kind of loses to ley lines.
Yep.
But it also runs ley lines, so your bridges don't actually disappear, like, ever. Yeah. And another problem is, I see it as a... When the Bridgevine deck first came out, it was like a flash in the pan. It was a flavor of the month deck. Mm-hmm. I suspect that this will be as well. And
It seems super frail.
It's... Yeah, kind of. And...
Problem is, there are so many graveyard decks running in the format that people will be running graveyard hate just, you know, automatically.
Yeah, and what else did they want to mention? I don't want Modern to get any faster. It's already, like, you can already win on turn 4, turn 3 sometimes. And I just don't want it to go, like, to turn 2. It's not cool. I mean, I want to use, you know, that cool new card that was reprinted into Modern, Fact or Fiction.
Oh, yes.
But it just seems so slow for the format.
Yeah, that's actually what I wanted to ask you, because you're playing Modern as a primary format. Do decks that run Aether Vial, like Humans, Merfolks, or Devon Texas variants, become more consistent in terms of use the Aether Vial with Death Mulligan?
Well, I haven't been playing with the Vial that much, but...
Just theoretically. What do you think?
If the format becomes faster, then I think that Vials don't really belong in that kind of format. I mean, yeah, sure, you can pump out more creatures with Vials, but you're losing... tempo, because on turn 1 you're not doing anything. Just on turn 2 you have one counter and you can play your 2 to drop. I mean, yes, okay, Vials still have a place, but I don't know, with more hate they might be, I don't know, sometimes you just need that turn 1 play. Sometimes maybe Vials will be too slow. And that is not a format where Vial is too slow. I just don't want that kind of format.
That's a weird sentence to actually say. One mana artifact that's gonna pump out creatures turn after turn, it's a bit slow.
I mean, I'm not saying that for sure. I have a hunch it might be faster to not run that, but to run more one drops. Or more an additional 2-drop. Like the Unsettled Mariner that nobody is apparently running because it's only like 3 euros.
Huh.
Giver of Runes also, just like 3 euros.
People are actually running Giver of Runes in Death and Taxes in Modern decks.
I know, but, you know, Death and Taxes in 2019, lol.
I actually saw the list of the 5 old leagues in, you know,
So, I'm just worried that the London Mulligan will give too much advantage to combo decks than it should. I mean, they need to do a ban wave. They need to do a new ban wave for Modern, and preferably to instantly just ban Serum Powder.
You're still on that. Let's ban Serum Powder Drain.
It's not because the card is broken or bananas in this kind of mulligan. It's just that it opens so much confusion and opportunities for cheating that it's not such a good card for the format anyways. Like, one or two decks are running it, and those are fringe decks, not even tier one. So just ban it and avoid the disaster, the possible disaster. Like, imagine you're on you're mulliganing once, you're mulliganing the second time, you have a Serum Powder, so you mulligan with Serum Powder, you mulligan again, and then you mulligan with Serum Powder, and then your opponent was like, mulliganing two times, and he wasn't paying no notice, then you're like, okay, wait, how many am I putting back?
However many you want.
And like, he puts, like, two back, because he says, yeah, I did a lot of Serum Powders, mulliganing. And the opponent's like, yeah, okay, you sure, you can just cheat. I mean, people cheated in a lot more obvious ways, so, you know, like marking your Tron lands.
Or two explorers.
Or double exploring, or, you know, playing Brainstorm as a draw three card.
Yep, or Kira, Miraculous Coming to Hand.
So, yeah, I think that Serum Powder will be a lot easier to exploit than those things.
Magic players would never.
And that's why I think that Serum Powder should be banned. Not because it's too powerful, but because it's too abusive.
In bad ways, abusive. It opens up too many asshole.
Also, you know, in fact, turn to kill with the wormification.
Oh yeah, I actually wanted to ask you about that. So things are happening as you thought that were going to happen.
Pardon?
It's going as you feared it was going to happen, that Infect was going to get super boosted with this?
I mean, it was pretty obvious. Because you have two spells that for one mana give +4/+4, so that's easy turn to kill.
You know what also I've seen? That a Gruul deck, that spell base came out because of this card.
Wait, what Gruul deck?
So deck runs that spell. The become a worm.
Mm-hmm.
Become immense. Blister Coil weird, and things like that.
Oh, the Blister Coil.
And you die on, like, turn two.
That might also apply to, like, the Kiln Fiend type of decks.
Yep. Doesn't run Kiln Fiend, but runs that, runs the Soulscar Mage, runs that Assault Strobe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the fun cards.
Yeah, like I said, you know, like, and you're going to drop turn one Vial. Okay, you turn drop one Vial, you're dead.
pretty much answers my question here, right here.
So that's the fear that, like, turn one Vial will cause you to die because, you know, you don't have a blocker for that Glistener Elf, so you just die.
More Toxins.
More gut shots, apparently.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just.
Do you remember the time when Eldrazi Dex used to run gut shot?
I do.
During the Eldrazi Winter? Wasn't that fun?
I mean, they can bring back Eldrazi Winter now. It wouldn't be most obscene deck in the format anymore.
Yes, please.
Hey, remember when that time when the only deck that could go against Eldrazi Winter were robots? And now nobody's playing the actual robots? But that's some weird Hardened Scales version?
Yep. Modern is weird now.
Modern was super fun. Modern is actually super fun, but with the London Mulligan again, I don't know what's going to happen. I just don't like it.
Nobody knows.
I mean, they did a thorough testing by letting people play on Magic Online with London Mulligan, and they even had one Pro Tour with London Mulligan. You know, the Pro Tour that nobody prepared for the London Mulligan. Because, you know, it's completely new. You can't break a format overnight. Except with Eldrazi Winter. And people were mostly just trolling on Magic Online using the new London Mulligan and that turn one Griselbrand deck. That was mostly trolling. So, and now people will be super competitive and will be trying to break it. And they're going to break the London Mulligan.
Do you know how much Dredge has spiked in Vintage during the London Mulligan?
No.
A bunch, but even worse, Paradox Engine decks, Paradoxical Outcome decks jumped up even more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sheesh.
Like, is this really what Wizards wanted?
Apparently.
Apparently all their, we don't like non-interactive combo decks, but we don't want them to not exist. So we're just gonna put in this rule that helps them exist even better. Okay, sure.
Yeah, I think that this last Vancouver Mulligan that we had, it's just probably the most perfect, the healthiest Mulligan that we could have for all formats.
I love Vancouver Mulligan.
Yeah, it's just perfectly healthy and just going nowhere with anything. You just could play everything, it's just the same. Deck is faster than some, and some deck is more controllish. It's just perfectly balanced. They'll fight each other longer game, slower game. I don't know what to say about this. I think just to make some, yeah, like Nixon says, it's just people are gonna break it eventually, and some decks will just have to be too strong, and they'll have to immediately ban cards that are like with Vancouver Mulligan aren't even considering ever to be banned. That just might happen. I mean, those are Wizards of the Coast, and it could happen. Like this month, London Mulligan.
Well, looks like Stoneforge Mystic should be unbanned, right? Or
no, yeah. it's too strong.
Or, you know, maybe Twin gets another shot.
Or Pod gets another shot.
Yeah, Pod might actually be too slow as well.
You forgot that Pod was a thing, didn't you?
Maybe they'll bring everything back because, you know, you need all the unfair tools to fight the unfair decks.
Honestly, what? You play your Burning Pod on turn 3. Good for you!
Well, turn 2 if you have a Planeswalker out, turn 1.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, good for you, I'll just win the game now.
So yeah, that was pretty much my only rambling about London Mulligan. I mean, it's completely fine in the standard. It's completely fine in draft. Like,
mm-hmm.
For those formats, it's amazing.
Yeah, just going about to say, in limited, it's great. I played some limited online, like with this war and Modern Horizons when it released. It just works so good. We just played a draft with like separate packs and with a full war. And the picks were just different because you already know the set you drafted with like Mulligan, Vancouver Mulligan. But the way you play the game Unlimited for the same draft set is just different. Because you tend to get some cards you need earlier. And that could probably affect other sets, or they will adjust other sets to the Mulligan rule. I don't know what could happen. I mean, they could adjust cards to be less broken, let's say like that, to this new Mulligan rule. But I think that will just going to use the same formula and reprinting that dinosaur vanilla creature in every, I mean, format to use as a bomb in limited or something like that. And people should try it at least. And I mean, like Nietzsche said, for standard, I think it's perfectly healthy, but for limited, it's not just healthy. It's so much fun.
Yeah, because you actually get to play Magic.
Yeah, exactly.
From what I've seen, for Standard Unlimited, this is a super good rule. Because, you know, you just get the things you need to start the game with, and you're fine.
There aren't broken things that can happen in those two formats, you know? Just aren't.
The more of bigger of a card pool you have, broken more broken things happen.
Exactly, I agree. Exactly.
But I guess it remains to be seen what are we actually going to do with this and how it's going to reflect on command on Magic as a whole.
Oh yeah, and speaking of bans, people are like really not pleased with how many cards are floating around. And if they're going to ban anything to weaken Karn, then just don't ban Karn, just ban Lattice. Because Daddy Karn is like one of the best things that ever happened.
Lattice is, yeah, just that one card makes non-games happen. Karn, his own is perfectly fine.
Yeah, just don't ban Karn, and don't ban Paradox Engine in Commander, please.
I mean, there's no need to, honestly.
With the London Mulligan, I think that banning the Paradox Engine just doesn't make any sense, because those kind of decks don't really need that much more consistency, because there aren't even that much decks that run Paradox Engine.
Decks that want to run Paradox Engine already run Dramatic Reversal.
Yeah, because it's strictly better.
They run Paradox Engine as a redundancy.
While Paradox CC just can't.
I mean, yeah.
Feels bad, man.
I mean, my only argument for that Paradox Engine, I personally don't like the card because it's always a win more card for me, and personally because of my own, like, argument, if three people at the table can't answer a 5-mana, like, alarming threat, they're just on their own. And I don't find that card to be just that huge of a deal, like people tend to say, oh, it's just a banned worthy card because it's broken, you get to untap all of your stuff, get all the mana, get all the cards, and you win the game. Okay, try and win the game with it. I'll probably won't let you even cast it, I don't know.
The thing is, you actually need to have a lot of setup to win with the Paradox Engine.
Exactly. And
you need like 5 or 6 combo pieces to actually win.
Yeah, at that state, if you already didn't win, I don't know what you don't get. I don't really know what you're doing then.
Hell, Dramatic Reversal sounds like a bigger target to be banned, because you need a Mana Rock and this.
Yep.
Yeah, I actually play Dramatic Reversal in every blue deck I can that runs.
Like every blue deck just runs Reversal. That's like the norm.
Yeah, just it's like the best ritual that can be played. I mean, besides the black rituals, this one is the best. I mean, it can serve as 2 mana, get all the mana you just had. If you tap your rocks for 6, use it and recycle the mana. And it's just a great ritual. People don't usually see that. Many often you just go, I'm gonna play Scepter and Reversal, but why don't you just play Reversal in the next deck that can't run Scepter, like as a win con?
I can't play Scepter because I can't play Reversal because it's blue, and I only play green and white.
Well, you aren't even playing those colors anymore, are you?
You're not playing any commander decks.
I'm not playing any colors right now. I mean, kind of finish Corridor. I noticed that I'm missing 3 cards, and I want to put swords in, but all of my swords are in my cube, and I don't feel like moving those cards.
Ah.
I will give you the swords just to put it in.
I'll just use my proxies.
I was gonna say proxy? Because why not?
Actually, I have spare. I will give you. Just please run good cards, Niksha, please.
And of course, I have my Storm Boys ready. I just need to put in the lands, and that's it.
KNT, right?
Yeah. And I'm running that deck just because Mate borrowed me a foiled Thousand Year Storm and a foiled Emergency Powers.
Nice.
just because of those two cards. I mean, if I had them, but not in foil, I wouldn't be running this deck.
You're going to storm off with that deck?
Maybe. But I would prefer to storm off with Selvala Stampede than just, you know, all the extra turns.
That's legit.
Because it's still a Selvala Stampede deck, so no mana dorks. Only mana rocks.
I wanna hear a random thing that happened yesterday on Cube. Andra managed to resolve balance against Tess. It didn't matter.
Of course.
Tess drafted the mono green deck and the rest of us were playing some blue things. And she ramps a lot into many things, has a Managogic Hydra with a bunch of counters. Andra top decks balance. He was like, I get to live now. He has balance and sees that she has too big of a Managogic Hydra with a blue-red sword on her. And she just whacked him in the face. Balance, not the strongest card.
Balance, actually balanced.
I'm just going to cast the balance to get you another counter on that Hydra.
He thought he was going to buy himself a turn. Turns out, no.
Well, it's vintage.
Mono green doesn't care. That was nice. But yeah, anything else you gotta talk about?
Well, we did get 3 freaking Chandras.
Oh yes, all the Chandras. So, with which Chandra do we begin?
So, Mate, wanna pick a Chandra and start with her?
Sure, why not? Since I'm the guest here, I'm gonna read the first one.
Yay!
So, we have 3 freaking Chandras, like, it's... So, Chandra, Novice Pyromancer, is a legendary Planeswalker Chandra for 3 generic and 1 red that has 5 loyalty, and the first ability that's a place +1 that says elementals you control get +2/+0 until end of turn. The second one is -1 that adds 2 red, the probably the most relevant one. And the last ability is just -2 that Chandra deals 2 damage to any target.
I mean, she's an uncommon, we need to mention that.
Yeah, she's an uncommon. I mean, you're gonna pull it in a pack. If you're splashing red, probably unlimited, it's good. You can issue the removal. Judging by this +1, there is maybe a elemental sub-team in the
judging set. By all the Chandras in the set.
Yeah, actually, yeah. But this -1 is, to add 2 red, I think is just the most relevant one. Kind of pays for the half of the cost to do something else on the turn when you cast her.
What we need to mention is this is the only Planeswalker that's going to get 3 versions in M20.
Oh, my boy Garruk, though.
I think he's going to get a card, but not 3 cards.
Yeah, I mean, what would Chandra do against 3 Garruks? Anyway?
3 Garruks.
So this little Chandra, the uncommon one, it's the first uncommon Planeswalker that actually has a +1.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, 4 mana, 5 loyalty, that's pretty decent. Although the +1 doesn't really do anything unless you have a decent board.
Even if you just have like a couple of 3-1 elementals, they suddenly become 5-1. That's actually pretty huge.
Mm-hmm.
Combine this Chandra with the 6 mana Chandra from Battle for Zendikar.
Oh.
Yeah. That's good.
Or with the what's it called? The thing that gives you a lot of 1-1 elementals and every player can get also that much red elementals and you get even more for every player.
What's it called? Temptation thing.
Temptation.
Tempt with something. Fire?
Tempt with elementals. Let's say it's tempt with elementals. So yeah, it works well with Chandra.
But anywho, Nixon, wanna read us the rare one?
So Chandra, Acolyte of Flame is one and double red for a legendary planeswalker Chandra, with 4 loyalty. 0, put a loyalty counter on each red planeswalker you control. For 0, the second ability, create 2 1-1 red elemental creature tokens, they gain haste and sacrifice them at the beginning of the next end step. Okay, cool, but minus 2, you may cast target instant or sorcery card with converted mana cost 3 or less from your graveyard. If that card would be put into your graveyard this turn, exile it instead.
So she's a small caster mage.
She's a can't say two caster mages because she's two snap caster mages. But yeah, it's two snap casters.
And it can be even more because she can pump her loyalty with the zero ability.
And pump the loyalty of all other red planeswalkers. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting because, okay, yeah, during her time at the monastery, she was technically supposed to become the lead, the like leader of that monastery and become like a tutor for everyone, but she never actually did it because she went to be a Deus Ex Machina on Zendikar.
You know what's a fun thing that she buffs? The latest Bolas is a red planeswalker.
Oh, of course. All the Bolasai are red planeswalkers.
And he needs a bunch of help with his loyalty.
And he can pump himself up with it as well.
Oh god.
They can
you
pump
know what?
Mutual pumpage.
You know
oh,
what?
God,
what
that,
would be super...
That sounded wrong.
Yep.
Oh god, Misha.
You know what would be useful? If she could pump loyalty of black planeswalkers so Liliana could finally be loyal.
Actually, Chandra Torch of Defiance looks really good with this.
Oh, God.
He's so good with this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, yeah, this really. Chandra is, like, super playable. Aggressively costed at 3, and has a really strong ability. And that's the minus 2. Who cares about the 0 ones?
You mean Chase Rare? Chase Rare
yeah,
of the set?
Yeah, this is the Chase Rare.
Yeah.
At least one of.
I mean, she even protects herself in mm-hmm. both ways. That's just good.
She doesn't, I mean, really. Only her first one doesn't protect her. It just gives her plus one.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
the second one, they die.
Yeah, they die. I mean, the first one is... It's even fine.
You can
protect
her with a Force of Rage.
Oh, that's what they printed, I think.
Yes.
It's still useless, but you know.
You can catch it for free with Chandra.
Yeah, you can just exile with Chandra and you're fine.
You bitch the uncommon Chandra so that your rare Chandra can be better.
No, bitch the mythic. Oh, we actually have a mythic one.
What does
so
it do, Igor?
Chandra, Awakened Inferno for 4 and a red. Legendary plays Oka Chandra with 6 loyalty. This spell can't be countered. Screw you, Mate.
Yeah, I misread that when I first saw her.
What did you think that says this spell can be countered?
I don't know. I just even didn't read it. I thought it was some goofy, like, passive.
His brain just didn't comprehend that part because he does not want that part to be comprehended.
Yeah, actually, I saw a 6 CMC card and I just passed right to it. It's even red.
Imagine if it actually said this spell can be countered. No, guys, legit, you can do this. This is the best way to bait the counterspell.
Oh, that would be so good.
Plus 2. Each opponent gets an emblem with, at the beginning of your upkeep, this emblem deals 1 damage to you.
That's a plus 2.
That's an emblem for plus 2. Minus 3. Chandra Awakened Inferno deals 2 damage to each non-elemental creature. This is a board wipe, this is good. Minus X, she deals X damage to target creature or planeswalker. If a permanent dealt damage this way would die this turn, exile it instead.
So, yeah, those second two are kind of irrelevant.
Minus 3 is actually really good.
Minus 3 is, I just want to say, it's great. It's a pyroclasm effect on a planeswalker that can wipe the board and still stay alive.
It's a pyroclasm on a big walker that can be countered.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, 6 mana is just...
A lot?
A lot, but if you are thinking, like, for 6 mana for uncounterable pyroclasm, it's good. It's pretty good. That stays alive. That's pretty good.
That and then gives you an emblem.
Mm-hmm. That keeps on giving emblems to everybody. If it said just, you know, target opponent gets an emblem, I'd be like, yeah, whatever, but each opponent, oh god.
Like, I would put this in, like, a Mogis Punisher commander deck.
Oh, yes. Imagine if you could infinitely stack Chainwheel activations with this.
Yeah, and then people just die at the start of their turn.
Yes. I activate this like 100 times. I would like to pass the turn. And what do they do? Remove the emblem? They can't.
Well, to be fair, it's a 6 mana walker, so...
Yeah, but still. In standard and such formats, this could actually help you push that last couple of points of damage.
So, Chandra Awakened Inferno is actually good in control decks and against control decks. It goes both ways.
Yeah, in control deck this is actually really good.
Because you're stalling out the game anyway, so might as well just kill people by stalling out.
I mean, if you're playing a control deck, most likely she will come into play, minus 3. And after that, you can just keep on embleming.
Keep on keeping on.
Could we see a Jeskai control in standard? With this set? Maybe.
Probably. I mean, Chandra Acolyte of Flame is actually insane.
Mm-hmm. All the Chandras besides the, you know, uncommon one are really good.
But I feel like... I feel like all these Chandras could be just one card. Like, for... Like, they took 3 really good abilities, and instead of putting them on one card, they divided it on 3 cards. So, like, for plus, you give enemies an emblem, for minus, you get mana, and for your ultimate, you cast 3 spells. That's some kind of order I would see.
I didn't mind it this way because it shows us a bit growth for a character and all that.
I just wish it was another character.
I mean, yeah, but...
like Garrick.
Most likely he is gonna actually, you know, make an appearance.
Well, he is Maru confirmed that there will be a Garrick in M20 because for some reason he didn't come to War of the Spark.
I mean, why would the guy who hunts planeswalkers want to go to a place where there's a bunch of planeswalkers? You're being silly.
I mean, all those planeswalkers were, like, literally pulled there.
Yes.
And he apparently was, and this is their official explanation, he was too far.
I think I know what's the actual explanation.
They forgot.
Well, no, Bolas is tinkering with, you know, the beacon. Do you want us to summon Garruk? Are you crazy? No. No. He will kill us all. And then everything else on the plane.
Or just kill Bolas.
Oh no, he wouldn't kill Bolas. Himself? He would kill all the planeswalkers in the blue. Bolas would be like, come on, I needed those. I actually needed those.
Where were you before?
I think I know with which planeswalker he would start. The one that got him into trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But imagine if they actually let him loose on Ravnica.
I mean, he would just hunt the planeswalkers, and that would be a slaughter.
But that's the thing, some other people would try to, you know, join the fight, and he would have to kill them all.
Yep.
And then even the Gruul clans would be like, dude.
Dude, chill.
We want to tear this plane down, but not like this. And then Garrick would say something profound like, blah! And murder them all. Ah, Garrick, he's a soul.
But what about Commander? How good are these Chandras in Commander?
The uncommon one. Eh? Although, if you're playing something like Angry Omnet, +2 to all your dudes is actually not bad. Because they will have to jump block and kill some of your dudes.
Mm-hmm. And you That's know, actually... more mana is more mana.
And your commander will die, and this actually covers like one commander tax.
Mm-hmm.
-2 kills dorks, that's okay. Sure, that's fine. Actually, the -2, the 2 damage to any target is not to be neglected.
Yeah.
Kills Demon.
Yeah, kills stupid things like that. Kills mana dorks. Kills opposing planeswalkers, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, any target, yeah.
Yeah. The Acolyte of Flame, you will mostly be using her to, you know, slap your spells and just keep on smacking them with it.
Or maybe Super Friend support?
Yeah, I was gonna say, in Commander, this might be the weakest one.
I think you actually want... Yeah, just maybe for Super Friends because of that...
Yeah.
For zero ability, but maybe in some slowest free NG or meme Grixis controls like Reanimators or something to.
When you're not playing Atraxa.
Yeah. Maybe Idris. Oh, yeah, maybe Idris.
Yeah, that it can work with Idris.
I mean, yeah, it's 3 CMC, but you can cascade into her, or she even can cascade in something else. Then you can cast it. Then you may cast it again, and then cascade again. I mean, it doesn't work like that, right?
Yeah, however good Chandra Acolyte of Flame is in, you know, constructed formats in Commander, she's like, okay, she's this. Awakened Inferno is actually pretty good for Commander. Like we said, comes in, wipes the board, and then you can just, you know, keep on pinging people. And those pings, if you just, you know, if she can give it to everybody 3 emblems, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
3 damage a turn, on top of everything else you're giving them, is actually a bunch.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And then if you play something like, you know, the new Tybalt, they're screwed.
Of course.
By the way, Nyxia, Tybalt, apparently the MVP in a burn deck. I've been playing Burn on Arena. Holy crap, that guy's good.
Well, yes, prevents healing.
Especially if you play against Esper. Oh, you go to, you know, remove a thing, you go to destroy something and gain some life. No, Tybalt is like, nah.
I ain't having none of that.
You're not gonna. And he provides dudes that ping, he's a perfect card. Also, I've been playing the War Chandra in the Burn deck. Holy crap, she gives so much reach.
Yep, and your opponent is like, well, it gives him card advantage, but if I hit his card advantage engine, I die. That's...
No, people aren't actually reading what she does. You know why? I've been thinking her up, right? And I get a guy to like 6 life, and he casts Vraska's what's called?
Contempt.
Contempt on my dude. I'm like, okay, sure. And he passes turn to me. I will draw my card, I will -7 the Chandra, die, and then he does.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know what the hell she does.
Like, you need to remove her with Vraska's Contempt. It's really dangerous any other way.
Even if you just have to hit her, like, and get some damage to your face, it's better than letting her -7.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I untap with all my mana and then -7, you're kinda fucked.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Chandras are cool. And all 3 seem fun.
Mm-hmm.
When does actually M20 hit the shelves?
Well, spoilers start Monday.
Oh, crap!
So it's like a month away.
Nice! Oh yeah, the beginning of the 70s, the pre-release, right? I think.
Yeah.
I need to actually tell my boss to give me a day off for that. Like, I actually need to start planning that.
We'll see what will be in the set. I mean, Corsets aren't really renowned for their, well, amazingness.
It's gonna be Two-Headed Giant, and I like to go out with this and actually play Two-Headed Giant.
And we'll be doing with the Mulligan rule.
Yay! Mulligan.
So we'll actually have games.
Mm-hmm. It's actually good that Test and I have been playing mostly with London Mulligan, that we're actually going to be well-versed with it. Because it's going to suck when all the people start doing it, but they haven't tried it ever.
Oh yeah, and London Mulligan also seems really lengthy.
Oh, it actually can be. Now imagine if four people have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no. Oh, that's gonna suck.
So, unless something popped out of nowhere.
Not that I know of.
And nothing did. So.
Mate, any parting words?
No, guys, just thanks for having me.
Ah, bugs.
Okay, depends on the bugs.
Bugs.
In my room.
I mean, Mate, feel free to come along some other episode. It's fun having you on. It's fun also having you, you know, on the pre-show. Where we get to laugh at many stupid things that actually our listeners will understand, and that's sad.
Yeah, that's a pity.
But yeah, feel free to jump on the next cast.
Thank you for the invitation. I might consider even to come.
Oh, you think you have a choice? That's cute. That's cute.
Guys, help. Help.
Nick Shiny, parting words from you.
No. Well, hey, maybe with Brexit coming up, they'll be like, yeah, we're actually not doing London Mulligan.
Wow.
I don't know.
You managed to pull this out of your ass, haven't you?
Yeah.
That's like the funniest thing that I heard from Niksha in a while.
I just wanted to give a shout out to our good friend Demon Lord Bezenlock. He still keeps on writing us emails after almost each every episode. And that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
He makes fun emails. Mm-hmm. I'll actually forward you the last one he wrote like a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually a week. Nice. There we go.
Check it out, I guess.
He's just... it's always fun when I'm at work and just see his email. I'm like, oh, I get to laugh now. That's good. So yeah, anybody, people, just keep on writing to us. It's fun. Mm. And that was basically it, right?
Mm-hmm. This was episode...
Am I next year? Which was it?
89?
Oh, no!
Oh my god.
What the hell, Niksha?
I would be closer.
I don't know. What episode was it?
94!
94? Well, I remember last... Wow, I have really weird memory, because I remember last time it was like 87 or something.
Nope!
Is that why maybe, were you maybe
my,
still...
Maybe my lizard clone was on the... Episodes 87 to
93. I mean, 87 was end of March. The Three Flavors of Land Control. That was a good episode. But yeah, this was 94, apparently, of the Elder Dragon Little podcast. And as always, the Emperor protects.
Do you agree with that statement, Mate?
I do.
Oh, there we go.
My brothers has been swallowed by the ground. Unbelievable, insatiable thirst to light's break. tide swirls and rushes forth. My arms shake, I am swallowed by the storm surge. But I will turn from this, we will emerge from this. Ignore the gripping dread that slid us up our spines from this. Yet on the final dirge, hear me! I command a standard soul, a standard face, a chaos scourge. I count the days as to come, turn to a month now. Still with perseverance we raise the body count. Just as the pangs of pain, know that I know your face. You'll know mine whenever death is repaid. Burning past, just sanctioned by your chaplains. Line up every set while I align the battlements. 10,000 knights burn out in a blink. With a stalwart step prepared to hold before this brink of the precipice. While I join with disaster, declare the funeral song. One reason that you hold on, show me the war, master! And those I thought were my brothers have turned their backs on the fold. The Edmunds I time now hold. We hid ourselves in the dark. Foundation shook, step out of the sunlight to re-emerge. Luna wolves, now we wait on our haunches. Coiled, soon I will find my vengeance gets a despoiled. I can't forget the sight of their becoming poison. Suffering immaterial death, fate unavoidable. Knife meets back, this brother meets bloodshed. Return to give the devil tapping to the servant's head. Backstabber, turn, go, chain of command failures. Miniature lower swords as it tears through your defenses. The tide turns again and not in our favor. My forces face the death, but not once do they waver. And as the palace is breached, I'll take what I can reach. And for Avedon's throat, your life is beyond reproach. By the despicable's hands, our hope is scattered like sand. And every outcome I wanted sits above the unhaunted. Should have kept deeper still, burying my grave to fill. Soon I will have all your heads. You should have checked I was dead. And I can still see their faces. Their trusting look led astray. Only blood can amend this.